And heaven knows your heart must need help after this. You're on the air once again. Hello.
Yeah, hello, Art.
Okay, please continue.
Okay, I was hovering up above the ground, and I noticed a large group of people on the road, and I was curious, so I kind of just floated over, and I looked in there, and I was really startled when I saw myself laying on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I just kind of, that's the last thing I remember, I was like sucked back into my body. That was just like the beginning of everything that started happening to me.
Many, many people who have had near-death experiences have a lot of follow-on stuff happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would get these, what I called visitations at night, before a close friend or a relative in our family would die. I would have visitations by ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And there would always be more than one night of it. So when it started, I would just be terrified because I couldn't fall asleep. I knew it would keep happening and happening. Well, one time, this visitations had started happening to me, and I knew another one was going to come that night. I had the bed pushed up against the wall, and my husband sleeping on the outside. I was kind of afraid there.
Sure.
And I was laying there in bed, just totally terrified. And I could feel, like, these fingers going up the nape of my neck. And I could feel the fingers were so, like, grabbing the hair. And I knew within myself that if it was able to grab my hair, it would pull me to somewhere. I don't know where, but I didn't want to go there.
I hear
so
you.
So I started screaming, and I woke up my husband. And I had subsequent visitations to that. I would see, like, shadows marching up against the wall.
You know, of course, your story is very similar to other NDE, you know, type experiences that people have had. I mean, I've really interviewed quite a number of people who have had a sort of a brief instant on the other side, and inevitably they have these follow-ups, and I wonder if there is some kind of connection, kind of like, you know, once you've been there, once you've made a connection with the other side, it maintains a connection with you. And a lot of people have precognitive experiences. A lot of people have visitations, much like that young lady was just describing. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Good evening, Art.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, good evening. Before anything else, may I say thank you for this marvelous entertainment that continues night after week after month after year.
Yes, sir.
Just
thank you.
Marvelous. Several years ago, when I was just breaking into the trucking industry, I was traveling across the middle of California on Highway 152. There's a very large reservoir up in the hills between the San Jose Valley and the San Joaquin Valley.
Yes, sir.
And lovely summer night, just marvelous, and I'm driving along about half asleep in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, out of the blue comes this little voice, says, "Lovely night," and I kind of looked off to the right side of the cab, and just a fleeting glimpse of this blonde girl in a white, full-skirted dress, and I thought, okay, yeah, too many miles, too many hours.
Yeah.
Kept on going. There was a Denny's about 20 miles in front of me. I was going to stop that for coffee.
Good for you.
Which I did. And reaching over to the right side of the cab, it was a cab over, so of course there's a engine cover there that I had to lean over, and I put my hand on the right seat to roll up the window that I had partially open.
Right.
The seat was wet. I thought, well, that's rather odd. It was a lovely summer night. It wasn't raining, nothing going on, no heavy dew or anything like that.
Right.
I hadn't run into anything. So I proceeded to get coffee and go about my business. And a couple of months later, I was talking to a couple of drivers in the truck stop in San Jose that's no longer there. And they were relating this story about this couple that had gone off the road up in the Pacheco Pass years before. The new husband had survived, but his bride of just earlier that evening had drowned there.
And let me guess. The other truckers had experienced the same thing.
No, they haven't. They just were relating the story. We were just kind of kicking it around. And like I say, this was a couple of months after this experience. I had not heard the story before. I just thought it was rather odd that the seat was wet.
I should say. I appreciate the call. Thank you. I would think that would be the repetitive kind of thing. That worries me, has always worried me, this apparent repetitive action that people seem to experience in these stories. I mean, you know, in death, that they do the same thing again and again and again, a hell of its own, really, if you think about it. But again, it does lead one toward the possibility that all we're experiencing and all we're noticing is some kind of, I don't know, endless tape loop, sort of a vibration that remains, but not really a ghost as we think of a soul. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Yeah, Walt from Pennsylvania.
Yes, Walt.
850 WNTJ Johnstown.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, excuse me, I'm just getting over a cold right now, so if I sound a little hoarse to you, just let me know.
Okay.
Okay. Back in 95, me, my dad, and a friend of ours, we were out hunting. There's about a foot and a half of snow out there, and we go back in our tree stand, separate up, and about lunchtime, we meet up with my dad on his tree stand. We're sitting there having lunch, and look out across the hillside there in the thicket. My dad says, look at that. He said, there's a guy and a woman over there, and he's holding her hand, and they're making tracks up through the woods, up through this thicket, and that, and we're looking at him, and he had a long sleeve dress shirt on, dress pants, and dress shoes. She has a white dress on with high heels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's 18 inches of snow out there, and it's about 10 degrees out. We're all bundled up and like, what the heck are they doing back there?
Not very appropriate.
No, not very appropriate at all. So my buddy pulls his binoculars out, and he's looking at them, and I pull mine out of my pack. We're looking at them, too, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we're checking them out, and they just, like, disappear. So toward the end of the day, maybe about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're working our way out to go home, and we're looking at the tracks in the snow. There was no foot tracks from them.
No foot tracks.
There was ours. There were tracks from deer, but there was no foot tracks from them.
Again, that's kind of like some kind of slip. It's, you know, almost like you went to another time, or another time came to you, or there was some little window of something that just should not have been.
Well, it's more like, I think it's more like there was a window that came to us, because about 3/4 of a mile from us used to be an old farm up at this place. It's up in the state park, and there was an old farm up there, because we found foundation stones from like 1810, 1835 up here. And, you know, kind of wondering, you know, geez, wonder what happened back then, that you see a young guy and a young woman, and they're making tracks up through the woods, and when you leave for the day, you see no tracks in the snow from them. And it didn't snow, and the snow didn't melt. So,
no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I've got it. All right, thank you very much. Well, there have been quite a few like that tonight, haven't there? Sort of little shifts or little immersions into different times, like the lady with all the contemporary things that were actually really old. Not dusty, brand new, just used, but really old. That's kind of like you went to a different place, a different time. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
I got one that's a little different approach, and I'm going to speed it up as quick as possible.
All right, please.
About 4 years ago, I was with this girl who came from a very broken home. Her mother was killed in a car accident. Her father abused her, so she was kind of off balance, and I didn't realize that she was off balance until we moved in together. But in the middle of the night, going on 3, 4 in the morning, I had to get up and be at work at 6 in the morning.
Yes.
So I wake up and have an attack of what appears to be sleep paralysis, which I'm sure you're very familiar with.
I am.
And I had never had this happen to me before, kind of, you know, unfamiliar with it. And I battled with this for about 5 minutes and then fell immediately back into a deep sleep. Into this sleep, I was in this dream state where I was in like a grayish-like hallway. and I saw my grandfather, who had committed suicide when I was about 6 months old. And I went to approach him and hug him, and he pops me right in the nose.
Oh.
Bloodies my nose in the dream, and we're struggling, and a woman in a blue gown came and got my grandfather off of me and told me it's going to be okay. She's just confused. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
So when I wake up, I snap immediately back, just completely awake, not the least bit tired, and there's my ex-girlfriend, and she is bawling, I mean completely in tears. Couldn't get a word out of her for an hour. And finally, when I did get a word out of her, she said, "What does she mean that I'm confused?" And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" She said, "I heard her voice through you."
Oh,
and I heard
brother.
A groan. And at that moment, Art, my nose gushed blood.
Oh, my God.
So you be the judge. Thank you for all these wonderful shows. You have a great night.
Yeah, thank you very much for contributing to it as well. Well, I guess my first reaction would be that you really did not escape the paralysis, that you really didn't fall, obviously, back into a normal sleep after the paralysis, but instead you in some way gave in to the paralysis, and voila, what followed? You can fight off this sleep paralysis and wake yourself up or whatever, but that's not what happened to you. You immersed yourself into it. You're on the Air Coast Ghost to Ghost AM with Art Bell. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Art.
What is your first name?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm a little nervous.
That's right.
My first name is Diana.
Diana.
And I'm calling from Brighton, Colorado.
Excellent.
My true story, my experience happened some years ago when I was attending the School for the Visually Impaired in Louisiana. And I was about 16, 17, around that age. And I had just laid down to bed, and I was living in a dorm. And my room was, like, at the end of the hall, and I was the only one in that room.
Were you completely sightless?
No, I'm totally blind in one eye and have some vision in the other.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so I just lay down for bed and starting to doze off, and all of a sudden I hear this, like, ticking at the wall outside. And I'm like, okay, what in the world is going on? Maybe it's some of the boys that are playing a prank, you know?
Sure.
So I get up and I look out the window, open the window, okay, nothing out there. I'll go, okay, go back to sleep. Then I start hearing scratch, scratch at the screen. I'm like, oh, okay, now this is getting ridiculous.
By now, you probably figure somebody's messing with you.
Yeah. And so then it's like, okay, it's like, I got to get some sleep. I got to get to school, you know? So I lay down again, start to doze off, and then I hear this voice that goes, "Sleep now, Diana, it's okay."
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, all right. And the next thing I know, I wake up and my bed starts shaking.
Oh.
The room, everything in the room just starts like crackling all over. And then I look toward my closet door, and there's this face, this like orangish red face with these reddish fire eyes and these horns on the head and like a black hood over the head. And it's like getting brighter and bigger. And it's like, I'm frozen. And I'm like, oh,
sure.
God, what do I do, you know? And the only thing I knew to do was just say, God, get me out of here. And the next thing I know, I'm running, but my feet aren't touching the floor.
Huh.
It's like something's carrying me out of that room, and I ran to my best friend's room, and I said, something happened. She says, well, take it easy, you know, just sleep in my room tonight. And I didn't go back in that room for the rest of the night.
Well, I'm not laughing because anything's funny, only because it's sort of so classic. I mean, running and you can't go anywhere, you know,
yeah.
Feet up in the air. It's just the worst of the worst.
But, I mean, that face, that has just haunted me all my life, seeing that.
I imagine it would. What conclusion do you now, when you think about it now, you're older, what do you think?
I don't know. Maybe something just trying to scare me because it knew things in my future, good things in my future that were going to happen to me. Maybe trying to scare me. I don't know. I could never figure it out. But, I mean, I've had other little scares through my life, you know, where certain little things have happened, like trying to stop me from doing things or, you know. But that was the most, oof.
Maybe you have some sort of guardian angel.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I do.
All right. Thank you very much for the story. Have a good night.
Thanks so much,
Art. Right. Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on Ghost to Ghost AM05. Hello.
Is this me, Art?
That's you.
Hi. Happy Halloween.
Same to you. And what is your first name?
My name is Zach.
Zach?
Zach.
Zach. Oh, okay, yeah. Zach. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks. Well, let's see. When I was a boy, we lived in this house in Oregon City, Oregon. I think I was about 6 years old when we moved in there. And in Oregon City, there are a lot of historical homes. It's built right at the end of the Oregon Trail.
Right.
And this house was one of those. We still had the old clawfoot bathtubs and the old, you know, Art Deco light fixtures and everything was original to the house.
Sure.
Anyway, it was a spooky old place. I mean, you just looked at it and it was weird looking. It was a spooky house. And I'd play around in the basement building forts and whatnot, and our landlords lived across the street. And I remember one day I was talking to the landlord, and in casual conversation, he brought up the fact that, wow, there was a ghost that lived upstairs in their house, of an old lady that had died there, and I didn't pursue the matter, what that was all about. But not too long after that, things started happening around our house, you know, little lights going on and off, and strange sounds in the house, and every time I was in the basement, I felt like I was being watched. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Huh.
And
you know, it sounds like poltergeist stuff. Lights on and off.
Right.
How about things moving?
I personally didn't see anything move, but you could hear like chairs sliding across the floor and footsteps, that type thing.
Right.
So being a little kid, you know, my brothers and I tried to tell my mom and dad. And they just kind of poo-pooed it, you know, overactive imagination type thing. And I'm really nervous, forgive me.
Oh, no, you're doing fine. You're doing great.
This is great. And, this went on for, I forget how long. I was pretty young. Until about the summer that I was 11. And my mother and I were alone in the house. My brothers were outside playing. And she had laid down on the couch for a nap. Well, I'm in the bathroom. And I'm taking a bath in this old bathtub and playing with my toys, whatnot. And all of a sudden, I feel a hand on the back of my neck kind of stroking me up and down, you know, just a really loving caress type thing. And it freaked me out. So I jumped straight up and yelled for my mother. Of course, she didn't hear me. Well, right about that time, this is where it got really spooky.
Okay, we're way short on time.
Okay, so anyway, I could feel snakes falling off the ceiling and hitting me on the head. And as they did, they would slither down my body. I could feel them and plopping right into the bathtub. I could
hear
everything. It was just, I freaked. I jumped out, ran into the living room. I yelled, stop it. This is the bad part. Because when I yelled, stop it, this voice, this cackle, it was the most evil, hideous laugh I have ever heard, and I have never forgotten it. And it was in the bathroom with me, and it was just, I still can't even, I had to go to a priest and talk to him after that.
Well, that is exactly where we're going to have to end it. Take care, buddy.
Okay, thanks,
I appreciate the story. Snakes
right,
into the bathtub. Yikes. That's it. Ghost to Ghost AM 05. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Good night.
Midnight in the desert. Shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. Filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on?